Welcome to this class on preaching. I'm glad to be with you to present this. I'm going to be your host for 36 weeks of reflecting on the art of preaching, or turning preaching into an art. Now, you'll notice the title of this class. I've titled it Preacher, Preparation, and Presentation, a class on making and preaching sermons. Now, I realize that there are a variety of kinds of people who might be watching this course and taking this course for a Christian Leaders Institute. Some of you maybe are just curious that you're saying, "Guy, I wonder what people are saying about preaching these days," or maybe I might think about preaching sometime in the future, but it's not what you're doing right now. You will learn some things in this class that will be very helpful to you as you try to determine whether God has called you to enter the preaching world. Now, some of you I know are taking it for credit because you are going into preaching. You've already felt a call. You maybe can be engaged in preaching a little bit. And I'm hopeful that through this class, you're going to learn some skills. You're going to gain some knowledge about the art of preaching so that your preaching is more effective. And then, of course, there are probably those of you who are engaged in preaching every week. You may be engaged in a local church, you're the pastor, or a large Bible study, and you feel called every week to make a sermon. What you learn here is going to help you do that more effectively, more efficiently, and hopefully with greater impact. And so we're going to be on an adventure together. Whatever your reason for signing in here and saying, "This is a course I want to take," I assure you that this is going to be a rich experience for you. Now, to begin with, I do want to just do some introductions. First of all, who am I if I'm going to be your host, if I'm going to be leading you in this journey? You should know a little bit about me. First of all, I'm married. I married my high school sweetheart. I have 3 children. I have 11 grandchildren, and they are my pride and my joy. You should know also that I have spent 40 years in ordained ministry within my denomination. It's been a privilege to be preaching for 40 years, and I still continue to do that. I'm now semi-retired, I guess. I'm doing some things in ministry, which will come out during the course time. But I'm somebody who has had to learn how to preach well because I've done it. And you should know about me that I'm passionate about the kingdom of God. There's nothing I enjoy more than to get an email from somebody when I retired officially from the last church I served. There was kind of a going away party, and they had solicited information from people from the 3 churches I had served during my ministry time. And I remember getting an email from a woman who simply said, "You don't remember me," and that was true because I didn't. She said, "But I was part of the bus ministry. In my first church, we had a bus ministry that went around to trailer parks around the church and took people, kids, to our Sunday school, and then often they would stay for church." She said, "You don't remember me, but I was given an assignment. I'm joining a new church, and I had to write my testimony. And so I'm writing you because I feel called to tell you that you'll never know the difference your preaching made. It led me to Christ." Now, that probably is the greatest reward I could have, and there were several other people who said some similar things. So I'm somebody who's been in the trenches. I've been there when you're sitting there on Saturday and going through the message, and you're saying, "This really stinks." I have been there in a time when I walked out of a service, worst sermon I ever preached. I walked out of the service. I didn't stay around to talk with anybody. I walked out of the service. I went to my car, drove home, and on the way determining, I will never preach again. I have been there too. And I've been there at moments when, just saw the movement of God in a congregation as it came to a sense of unity around purpose because we were gathering around the Word of God. And so that's who I am. I'm passionate. Now, I also spent a lot of years preaching in different settings, and that's where I have learned something about preaching as well. This is the first church I served. It's Calvary Church in Plainwell, Michigan. You'll notice it's a little jumbled, and that's because this is a screenshot from a Google Map program. It's a little tiny church. It was probably about 50 people when I came there as their pastor. And it was a blue-collar church. In other words, there weren't very many professional people in the church, people who wanted to lead. And I found, as I just graduated from seminary with a Master of Divinity degree, you know, I'm overeducated for this congregation. And I used to try to preach to them, and I would preach these high ideal ideas that I would like them to take and assimilate into their life and find a way of living it out in their life. And I found that it wasn't effective preaching for that congregation as I learned its culture. The blue-collar people who went to work every day, and they were in the paper mills that existed in Plainwell at that time, and they were people who worked under a boss, or they worked on a line, and they did the same thing every day, or they did the directions of their boss, their supervisor, every day. That's how they lived. And then they came to church, and I expected them to, you know, make their own decisions, and they really weren't equipped for that. And so I had to change my preaching style to become more effective for that congregation in that way and help grow them in their capacity to reflect on God's Word themselves, not just be fed it. So it was a wonderful time, and I learned a lot. You'll hear some stories about that along the way, about my time in Plainwell. I learned a lot about how God works. I learned a lot about myself, and if you've been involved with my class that I taught on leadership, you know that I got depressed during this time too, because God wasn't working at the rate I thought He should work, doing what I thought He should do. So I learned about preaching in those types of situations in that church. The second church I served was in Southern California, Cross Point Church in Chino, California. Now, during my time there, I was there for 23 years. First church, I was there for 4.5 years. First church, I preached a morning service and an evening service, two different sermons, so I wrote two sermons every week. And then I came here, where I preached half the time, so I preached once per week, either the morning or the evening. This is not the building I first came to. When I came there, the church was medium-sized, about 400 people, and we were going to go through a big building expansion, and the decision was made to relocate instead. And so we relocated to this wonderful, beautiful facility, and that's where I got to preach. And here is the, this is off the website of that church, just so you can get an idea of the building situation. On the left is the children's ministry building, and on the right here is the worship center with some classroom and nursery facilities around it. Now, in that church, I was preaching to a different kind of audience. These were people who were mostly professionals. These were people who went to work and told other people what to do. And so I was not effective when I was telling them what to do, when I was ordering them. But when I called them to greater thought and greater kingdom expression, then they began to respond. So I had to learn how to preach to that congregation. And it was also during this time that I learned some principles about pulpit furniture and things like that. And I'll be sharing those kind of wisdom pieces along the way as we go together. So that was two of the churches. The last church I served was in Grand Haven, Michigan. And this is a picture of our welcome area. I can't find a picture online of the outside of the building, but it's an old piano factory. It's about a 100-year-old brick building, and you'll notice on the left side that the brick is still from the outside there where pianos were shipped, actually, and then we created it into a welcome area. It's 3 stories high on the one side and 1 story on the rest of the facility, which we've upgraded a couple of times. But it was a very, very kind of down-to-earth church. In fact, this was a place where anybody could come. And we specialized in being people who receive people with grace. And so I preached grace a lot because we had people who were on their second and third marriages. We had people who were alcoholics, recovering and not so recovering, people who were drug addicted, people who had been in prison. And we had a variety of those people coming. We had a good mixture of kinds of people because we had the professional folks, the leader folks as well. But preaching to them was a different thing because it became far more personal, became far more directive. And here's the inside. On the left is me serving communion. On the right is people coming forward for communion with the worship band in the back. You'll notice everybody is dressed casually, and that's the kind of church it was. So 3 very, very different settings. That's how I learned to preach. Now, I also did the study of preaching, the reading and the reflecting, the going to classes, the watching seminars and being part of seminars. I have tried to hone this craft called preaching because I realized how important it was. How important it was to be somebody who was, as we're going to see in a class just coming up, how important it is to rightly divide the word of truth, to study it, to present it to God's people in a way that allows for the Holy Spirit to flow through the words that I say. And so I want to invite you, as I share these principles, as I share some of the nitty-gritty of the making of sermons, some of the theory behind it, some of the practical ideas about how to create a sermon series, about how to decide what passages to preach on, once you've decided how you develop that into a sermon that will reach and teach the people that you are called to preach to. We're going to look at all of that stuff. In fact, that's the next part of our introduction, introducing the course. We're going to talk about what is preaching. There are various kinds of sermons. In fact, the New Testament talks a great deal about preaching, but it does it using a variety of words. The New Testament, as you probably know, was originally written in the Greek language. And in Greek, there are several words that in English we translate as preaching, but they're different words with different emphases. And so what is this thing called preaching? And as we look at that, I'm hoping that it will help you decide, you know, what are your kinds of sermons? And what is the menu, you know, if we talk about feeding people on the Word of God, what is the menu you are presenting to people regularly if you preach regularly? And so we're going to talk about those different kinds of sermons. And likely, you know, you get with one that's comfortable, and I'm going to challenge you to maybe go outside of that on occasion to develop a preaching plan for your people that will include a variety of things on the menu. And so we're going to talk about what is this thing we call preaching, at least in the New Testament sense. And we're going to talk about then how do you prepare for preaching. Now, preparation, I'm going to say then, is vital. It's absolutely vital. That'll be in lesson three. What does it mean to prepare for preaching? Well, prayer. How do you pray as you are preparing to preach? What other people are praying for you, and what kind of content do they put into their prayers? What kind of energy do they put into their prayers? I was into ministry for several years before I realized that I'd been taught to preach the technical parts of preaching, and I'd never been taught to pray. And I learned that prayer is essential. If the sermons, if the preaching is going to have the power that God intended it for it to have, if it's going to bring change into lives that the Holy Spirit wants to begin in people's lives, that prayer is essential to preceding it. We're going to talk about how you study the Bible. How do you determine whether this passage is the right one for you, or if you're in a series on a book of the Bible, how do you determine what that passage says, and then how do you determine what that passage meant for those people back then when the Bible book was written? How does that now translate into the modern day world in which you live so that you can be effective with your people? So we're going to talk about how you study the Bible. We're going to talk about, you know, the technical words like exegesis and eisegesis and those sorts of things. We'll get to that later. But we're going to talk about how do you prepare for preaching in that regard with prayer and study of the Bible. And we're also going to then look at how do you construct a sermon. And we're going to take it by parts. How do you find an introduction that is going to hook people's attention, is going to take them in and have them invited to and go on that journey with you? And then we're going to look at how you develop various points in your sermons and how you come up with a conclusion that will send people out knowing they've heard from the Lord. Now, all of that's important stuff. You know, the what precedes this, the prayer and the preparation and the study and all of those things are vitally important. But it's when people go out with the message, what do you want to see happen? What do you want them to know when they leave your sermon? What do you want them to think when they leave your sermon? What do you want them to feel when they leave your sermon? And what do you want them to do when they close out your time of sermon? All of that's part of the conclusion. Now, that's different in every culture, and I know some of you are in places far away from where I am. I'm sitting in Spring Lake, Michigan, taping this class right now. You're far away from that, but you're going to have to determine how the principles I present to you translate into your particular situation. But know that what we've learned in the past was probably not always correct. The way I learned to preach in seminary is that you told people in the introduction what you wanted them to know and hear. You then went to point one, you finished point one, and you went back and summarized point one. You had point two, and then when you were done with that, you went back and summarized points one and two, and then you said point three, and then you went back and summarized points one, two, and three, and then you concluded by telling them what they just heard. Now, that's the model, the template that I was given, and found out that it doesn't always work. And in fact, I found out that a real variety in preaching can be a rich, rich experience for your people. So we're going to look at that aspect of preaching, and then finally we're going to look at how do you present a sermon. We're going to look at some of those very technical aspects, which nobody really taught me. I realized that in seminary I was taught to study the Bible, and I was taught some things about, turning it into a sermon, the Bible passage into a sermon, but I was not taught about the stuff like gestures. When do you reach to someone? When do you invite them to come in? When do you, when do you pound your fist on the table? When do you take something with you as an object lesson for the day? How do you do those kind of things that will hook your people? And then secondly, gestures are illustrations. What kind of illustrations are helpful? Jesus told a lot of stories. Is that a good way? What are some of those things that are going to cause people to say, oh, I've got to tune in. I've got to tune in. Now, my experience of preaching has been rich. It's been fulfilling. It's been life-saving. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. I believe that the preached Word of God is still the primary means by which God brings about His desire and His will in the lives of people. And now that preached Word can sometimes come from one person, or it can come from two or three. But when it comes, the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, given through a person with all of his personality to a people within a certain place and time, that mighty things happen. Wonderful things. Of lives being changed, of hope being given where hopelessness is the experience. And so I want to share what I've learned with you. And I invite you along on the journey. And I guarantee you, it's going to be fun. And it's going to be a rich, rich experience. So come on along. Join me, and we're going to learn to preach effectively so that the kingdom may prosper and God's people may be built up for God's great praise and glory. See you next time.